Hey everyone, this amazing ESO Network show is brought to you by our fine sponsor, Amazon.com. Please remember to shop Amazon for all your geeky needs, no matter what time of the year it is. All you need to do is go to ESOpodcast.com/ESOAmazon or click on the Amazon banner on the ESO Network webpage to go to our e-store. It's the best way to shop and the best way to support this program, and it doesn't cost you anything extra. Okay, that's enough of me babbling for now. Now on with your regular scheduled show.
ESO Pro Wrestling Roundtable. ESO Pro Wrestling Roundtable. Wrestling is awesome. Get hit by a chair and thrown on the ropes. Grabbing up the ladder. Stop the damn match. 1, 2, 3.
ESO
Pro Wrestling Roundtable.
ESO
Pro Wrestling Roundtable.
ESO.
Oh, hell yeah.
All right, hey, we're back again to the ESO Pro Wrestling Roundtable. And since we're coming up on the end of the year, we decided that we would do a little bit of a year in review in the form of us listing our top five wrestlers or events or wrestling things. And we're going to go just round and round and discuss it and explain why we think that our top five or the top five, and we also probably talk a little bit about at least one of each of ours that the reason why they're probably the bottom of the year's luminaries. So anyway, sit back, take a listen, and we're going to do a little bit of talking. Who knew?
You got to ask yourself one question, punk.
What the hell is a cigar nerd?
Welcome to the Cigar Nerds Podcast.
It's the only show where two guys smoke cigars and talk about nerd culture.
Do you like movies, games, comics, sci-fi, pop culture, and beer?
Do you like science, nerd news, explosions for no apparent reason?
Then this is the show for you.
It's like being in a nerdy cigar shop, but for your ears.
Check us out at CigarNerdPodcast.com.
Now bring to you a special report from Dragon Con 2016. Our very own roving reporter, Jonathan Williams, attended the Brian Henson panel, and he asked a wrestling-related question. His question was, in the Muppets' many encounters with pop culture figures, they've often crossed paths with wrestlers. One instance was here in Atlanta when they appeared live on WWE Raw to promote the Muppets movie. Why do you think these encounters with wrestlers work so well? Were there any special challenges to appearing on a show like Raw in front of a live audience and cameras? This is Brian Henson's response.
There's a lot of challenges. First of all, the Muppets are managed by Disney.
Okay.
And I consult. I consult when they need me to. So I can't comment too deeply. But I will say, the whole idea of getting the Muppets out there is because they can, largely. Because they have a fun point of view on life, and they have a fun, fun life perspective, I guess, the Muppets. And put in the right situation, in a live appearance, can work very well. But it is a little dangerous, because even the Muppets have had live appearances that sort of sit a little flat. They tend to sit less flat the more extreme the person is. So the more normal the person is, the harder it's going to be for the Muppets to interact in a sparky way, because the Muppets are not very normal. So you start interacting with wrestlers, or you start interacting with unusual musical artists or weird performance artists, and it'll tend to work a little better.
Welcome back to ESO Pro. This is Richard, and we're going to talk a little bit about something going on that's very close to me, personally and localization-wise. If a lot of you don't know, I live in the East Tennessee area. I live in a small town called Maryville, Tennessee, and it's surrounded by a lot of small cities that kind of make up this one kind of great county. near Miraval, we've got Alcoa, we've got Sevierville, we've got Walland and Townsend, and we especially have Pigeon Forge in Gatlinburg. That is about an hour, 45 minutes to an hour from me. Just in the past 3 weeks, the whole area has been affected by fires, the cause of which is currently being checked into. We had fires in Wallen that were pretty close and Townsend, but just a couple of days ago, we're recording this on Thursday, December 1st, and just a few days ago, Gatlinburg, Tennessee was very heavily affected by these fires. I believe it was new fires that started along with some wind that came, and you might have seen it on your news. It's gained a little bit of national attention, but these fires spread out. As far as I know right now, I've heard 10 people have died, just thousands of people and homes destroyed, businesses destroyed. Gatlinburg is a tourist town, Pigeon Forge as well. That's how a lot of the economy comes in. That's how a lot of families support themselves. That's where a lot of people live. And I have lived here for 20 years, and before I lived here, more than 20 years, really. And before I lived here, I would come visit my aunt, and she would always take me up to Gatlinburg. So Gatlinburg, you know, I grew up in the arcades up there. I used to love going to the arcades, and Gatlinburg was just a really awesome place for me to be able to go to and vacation, as well as, you know, lots of other people have those same memories. I'm currently joined with wrestler, Isaac Kane. Isaac, thanks for coming on, man.
Thank you, thank you. Wrestler and promoter, yes, definitely.
Yes, promoter. Just if you want to talk a little bit about just your wrestling background and stuff, and then we'll get in onto what's happening and what's been affected and what you guys are trying to do about it.
Yeah, sure. Well, you know, we've been running our event down here in the Sevierville, Pigeon Forge, Newport, Knoxville area for about 11 and a half years. I started out, I was basically trained by the King Shane Williams. I don't know if you've ever heard of him.
Yes. He's very popular around here.
Yeah, the King Shane Williams worked with me for years, and then I worked with Chase Stevens. And then just kind of from there, we built up, and then I ended up working with guys like Xavier Woods before he went to WWE, and worked with Tommy Dreamer, and I was the last guy that Goldust went up against before he went back to WWE. So, you know, we built a little niche here in this area, as kind of the show that brings in, you know, the big names once a year. We do an event called Black Harvest, where we always bring in some big names, and it's kind of a fall Halloween themed event. But yeah, we've always did events down here. My brother and I run it together. But yeah, like I said, we've just built out a little niche here, and we've been really proud of the area, and we've got a really good core fan base set up here. This has affected us too. You know, I mean, what can I say that hasn't been said in the news, except that it's kind of like a war zone in Gatlinburg and in parts of Pigeon Forge and Sevierville right now.
It really is. The pictures are just, you know, I mean, they're just sad and amazing at the same time. Like, it just doesn't look real. The fire spread very fast. Most people didn't even have a chance to leave.
I was eating supper. We were celebrating a birthday, actually, and it was about 7:30. The fire at the Chimney Tops, which is what the hiking trail is called, it's called the Chimney Tops. And they have figured out a little bit now about what has possibly started the other fires. And what happened was this storm front moved in, but it didn't bring the rain. It just brought the wind, you know, and embers were coming down from the chimney tops, and it spread all around the main strip in Gatlinburg. And these high winds apparently knocked over some power lines. That caused a fire to start on the spur, which I don't know if you remember the spur. It's like this gap in between Pigeon Forge and Gatlinburg where you drive through the National Forest to get to Gatlinburg. And that's when it kind of exploded. And then it hit, it was getting really close to the Pittman Center area. My wife's family lives in the Pittman Center area. And we were contacting them and saying, you guys need to, you know, get down here in Sevierville as quick as you can. And her grandmother came down and we lost contact. And this just to give you an idea of how close it was really to us, she lost contact with her parents. And it was about 3 o'clock in the morning. And, I said, forget it. Let's just get in the car. And we hit back roads. And we made it to her parents' house, and they were there, and they were kind of hunkered down in their house. And from where I was standing, you could see the red all the way around, and you could feel the heat.
Yeah.
Wow. So, and then also, one of the people that sponsor our event, a really, really, really great person named Lydia. We do our training at her facilities. Which is kind of behind Dollywood, and behind Dollywood caught on fire too. So my brother, being the insane person that he is, ran and got our vehicle and went and packed up our ring and loaded it up within 20 minutes while the fires were kind of raging around him and smoke was all over the place. It was a very dramatic night. Nothing like that has ever happened around here. It's the worst fire or the worst disaster in 100 years is what they're saying.
Yeah, that's what I heard as well. And my brother lives in Pigeon Forge, and he was evacuated from his home as well. Luckily, he was safe, and his surrounding area was safe as well. So I understand you guys had an event coming up on December 16th of this month. It was just a normally scheduled event, correct?
Yeah, we had a normally scheduled event on the 16th that we were going to be doing anyways. And, we kind of became inspired. There's these guys that do the events with us. It's a tag team named Big and Funky. They kind of do a comical gimmick. And, Funkmaster is one of the guys. He owns a taxi service in Knoxville. And Big Luke, he was working in Gatlinburg whenever this was happening. He works at Bubba Gump Shrimp.
Sure.
And he was on Facebook Live streaming while this was happening. And then it started out with just like, hey, guys, it's real smoky up here. And then all of a sudden, you could see his demeanor change. And it became him running up and down the road telling people, like, get out of here. We got to go. This is getting really bad. And they called all their taxi cab guys, and they started driving up to Gatlinburg with all their taxi cabs and picking people up from Gatlinburg and bringing them to Pigeon Forge and Sevierville. They were going back and forth while the fires were happening. And then every day since, they've been at these Red Cross centers helping unload trucks and helping do this stuff. And my brother and I just became inspired by it, and spoke with him and decided that we were going to do on the 16th, do a benefit show for the families that have lost everything in the fires. We've done benefit show before. We've done Make-A-Wish Foundation. We've done Relay for Life. We've helped out our local Humane Society quite a bit. But this, I think, we've had events where we've had, 500-600 people. I think this is going to blow it out of the water. This community has came together so strong. We've never seen anything like it. The Red Cross is having to tell people, like, stop the donations on drinks and clothing. Like, we can't take anymore. There's too much. and that's never happened before. I mean, it's crazy, the outpouring. And I think it's because, you know, the people that vacation in this area, this is like a home away from home for them. So this, they're, to them, they look at this like a second home. So there's just been this outpouring of local help, but then also help from out of state. You know, people sending money, people sending supplies, truckloads of supplies. But yeah, we were inspired by them and decided that we were going to do a deal where we're going to help out two families. We're going to give them a portion of what we make that night. And then the rest is going to go to the Red Cross, specifying that it goes to the Red Cross of Gatlinburg.
Wow,
so that's kind of
great.
The idea.
Yeah, yeah, that's great. And you know, I mean, as soon as I heard this through Facebook, you did a live video just explaining everything, and with the city in the background, which I thought was an awesome video.
Yeah, that's where I live. I live on a hilltop, and we were going up that night and looking out over the town as it was in flames. So, you know, I remember my wife and I standing up there crying, you know, because this is, you know, this is my home. I was born and raised here. And it was blowing my mind. And sometimes you get put in situations where you say, like, I want to do something. Like, what can I do physically? And my brother and I said, you know, this is what we can do. So this is what we're going to do, you know. This is our way of helping. Some people will come and they'll donate tons of money, or some people will come and bring truckloads of clothes. Well, we're going to do this event, and in doing this event, we're going to financially help out people. And then also, I think it's going to be a good escape for them. It's going to be a way for them to just for a minute forget about what's happened and become engulfed in something else other than this disaster.
Yeah, absolutely. I think it will do both of those things very well. You know, you're exactly right, though. I'm amazed that I heard that today about the donations. Like, they're like, we can't take anymore. Like, they have so much water and so many supplies, and they simply don't have, you know, the room to store. I mean, there's sections all over the counties that are taking supplies, but they're just running out, you know, of room and manpower to sort it. And that's the other thing, is all these things have to be sorted because people are donating clothes and baby stuff and just all sorts of things, because people lost houses. They lost their, you know, some people lost their lives, some people lost memories, and some people just left with the shirt on their back, and that's it.
Yeah, you know, I mean, it's one of those things where you never think that something like this can happen to you or to your community. And, you know, did I have people that were directly linked to me that were affected, like family members? Not necessarily. But the night that it happened, or the day that it happened, the day before, and the chimney tops were on fire, but the wind hadn't came in yet. I have a shoot job that I do as well. I work at a local deer farm where we have like deer and zebras and all this different stuff. It's one of those really cool, interesting jobs that I've always worked really close with animals. Like I said, we did a lot of stuff for our local humane society, so I've always kind of been an animal lover. And one of our employees, a young girl, 21 years old, I ain't going to say her name, but she goes to college, and you know, she's one of those people who, you know, she pays for everything she does. She never asks for a handout. And she'll go to college for one semester, and then one semester she'll take off just to work and save up the money to pay for the next semester, you know?
Yeah.
And she was renting a house on the spur off of Natty Branch. And the day that we were all talking, and, you know, she has some dogs, and you know, her boyfriend and everything lives there, and her boyfriend's father. And, you know, we were telling her, like, you might want to go. You might want to go and get your stuff. And we looked on the computer, and it said, no, it's, you know, it's a, it's under control at the Sugar Land area. So in our minds, you know, we all thought, well, you're okay. It would have to jump over the whole city. It would have to take out the whole city before it got to the spur. And then she left work at 5:30, and I was, like I said, I was going out to eat, and I got a message at 8 o'clock that said, you know, she lost everything. She literally lost everything. And it just, it broke my heart because, you know, I've worked with her for years now, and this is the kind of, you know, you never think that something bad can happen to people that you know like that.
Yeah. And I mean, we're just not, I mean, I've never known of, you know, of us, this area having problems with fires. Being surrounded by the Smoky Mountains, I've just never known it, you know, and I mean, I don't think anybody else knew of it either. So this is, it really did come by just a shock of how bad it got. And I mean, we've been in a drought for about 3 to 4 months as well.
Yeah, since probably like June, July. Yeah,
that probably contributed to a lot. But, you know, in a case of coincidence, or if you want to think something else, the night that the fires happened, I think it was the next night, we got the most rain we probably got all year.
Definitely. That was crazy. It was like you didn't want to say a stroke of luck because everything that had happened had been so horrible. But just to give you an idea of how much worse it could have been is, yes, all these people have been affected. But you also have to think long term economically.
Sure.
Gatlinburg, you know, these people that vacation here every year, you know, they don't, you know, just to be blunt about it, they don't want to vacation and see a bunch of charred remains, you know, and it affects the economy. And if we wouldn't have gotten that rain, the fire was right behind Dollywood. Literally, I was watching the fire behind Dollywood. If it would have been one more day, there's a very strong chance that Dollywood could have been up in flames, and that would have destroyed our local economy.
It really would have. I used to work at Dollywood just a couple of years ago, and you know, I want to talk a little bit about Dolly here in just a second, but yeah, I heard it was about 50 feet from the park. But luckily they were able to contain it to that, and then the rain came and I think helped extinguish the rest. But I think both of us want to, you know, acknowledge all the volunteers, not just here and in the surrounding states, because I know we've had some people from Kentucky and stuff come over. And I mean, the firefighters have been working nonstop for really 2 to 3 weeks. They've just been trying to do the best they can and doing a great job at it, and just missing time with their families and risking their lives, and just all the EMTs and just everybody.
Yeah, and I can tell you, I saw videos of some of these guys up here, and they're exhausted. They're beat. I mean, it takes a certain kind of person to be able to do what they do. You know, and they're not only physically beat, they're emotionally beat. You know, whenever you come across some of the horrific things they've been seeing, like you said, 10 bodies have been found, you know, and that may be just the beginning of it.
Yeah, I mean, because it started out at 3, I believe, and every day it seems to be growing. And all the people that are missing, I saw in the news where it was just, they were just showing people that were missing in hopes that somebody would find them. I mean, the families are looking for them, and I hope they do find them.
Definitely. People are being found every day, people that got split up. There was a family that had 3 boys, actually, and they ended up finding them just today. So that was, you know, there's things to celebrate on top of these things that there are to mourn about. So it's one of those things where sometimes you just kind of have to look, you know, at the light that's shining through the darkness.
Absolutely. And I think you guys are a big part of that light in doing this event. And I, I, I want to do a call out to all of our listeners. I know we have some listeners in the Atlanta area and some other close areas that are just a couple hours away from here. And just, you know, come hang out. I'm going to be there. I'm going to go and support. And it'd be cool if we could get a few ESO Pro listeners and we all hang out and support this great cause. It's December 16th, which is a Friday. What time's bell time, Isaac?
Yeah, you know, the pre-show start at 7:30. Then the regular show starts at 8. And like you said, it's a Friday, December the 16th. It's going to be at the River Plantation RV Resort Conference Center. So it's right on the main parkway. You know, if you put it in your MapQuest, you can't miss it. So you're right on the main parkway. And you drive right on the main parkway and you'll see the big RV resort sign and you pull down in there and there's a conference center. And man, this place is a real beautiful place. There's carpeted. It's all carpeted. It's got a built-in sound system projector. We're also going to be doing a $5 Christmas dinner that night and all the proceeds will also go to the families. Cause we know a lot of people that are affected are going to be there. And this will be a good way for them to have a warm meal to put in their bellies. So, yeah, and then, you know, another crazy thing, I was contacted by some I'm not going to say that it's going to be a definitive thing that's going to happen, but I was contacted by some of the extras from The Walking Dead, some of the people that play the survivors, and they said that they were going to bring a bunch of them down from that TV show. And that's blown my mind that we've had so many people that have contacted us, wanted to be a part of the show from Atlanta to Kentucky, to Georgia, to North Carolina, Virginia, just all over the place. These guys are coming out in droves to be a part of this show. And then to have, you know, something, you know, a TV show like that, you know, people from that show to recognize what's going on. That's pretty cool.
Wow. That's great. Yeah, that sounds awesome. And I hope that they do come down, and it sounds like the event is really shaping up. I know you may not have a lot more details than those things, as far as wrestlers or matches or anything, but I do know that it'll be a great event, and yeah, I want to thank you for putting it on, and I can't wait to finally meet you and hang out and hopefully, you know, enjoy a good night of wrestling and, you know, see what a difference people can actually make.
Yeah, definitely. And I look forward to meeting you as well. It's been nice talking to you. And, you know, I look forward to meeting some of your, you know, listeners. Hopefully they come down. Yeah, just again, Friday, December the 16th. That's 1004 Parkway in Sevierville, Tennessee. So it's at the foothills of Pigeon Forge.
That's great. And also, I want to mention, I said something about Dolly Parton earlier. Today, she did a video. I'm going to play the audio after my conversation with Isaac here, and just so everybody can hear it. And she set up a My People Fund, and it's going to help some of the families that, actually probably all the families that are affected. The fund is planning on giving $1,000 a month for 6 months to the families that lost their homes and were displaced and lost jobs and just all the things that were lost during this time.
Yeah, Dolly's always been one of the people that have stepped up in our community. Before I was born, my grandmother was married to Randy Parton, Dolly's brother. I think they were just like a couple. I don't think they were married. I think they were just a couple. And then my grandmother's best friends with Willa Dean Parton. So I've met Dolly on a few occasions, sometimes not good occasions, like, you know, at funerals and such. But I also met her went backstage at a few shows that she did at Dollywood. So Dolly's always been a real integral part of this community. And it's like we say in Sevierville, if you're local here, you're probably kin to her in some way. So.
Yeah, it does seem like that. I've met a lot of people that are cousins or distant cousins with her. She is a great part of this community, and she helps it out probably more than I know. And not just in times of need like this, but for you know, all through the year, her and her companies do things that help out, especially this community and the surrounding areas.
Yeah, definitely. Well, you know, we're looking forward to this event and her doing that. I think it's going to be a huge outreach, and I think people are going to get the help that they need.
Absolutely, Isaac. Well, it's been great talking to you, and like I said, I will seek you out on December 16th, and I'll get with you, and, you know, that way we can finally meet.
Definitely. Thank you so much, and tell your two friends that I said hello to, and so maybe I'll get to meet them at the event as well.
I will. I'll let, we had problems with John and Jonathan, but they will, they were absolutely behind us having you on and promoting the event, and just after I told them what had happened. So yes, maybe we can get Jonathan Williams over. John's a little far away, but thank you, Isaac, and we will have you back on the show soon after.
Thank you so much, and you guys have a nice night. Thank you.
Hi, this is Dolly. Now, I know many of you, like me, have been watching the wildfires that have affected the Great Smoky Mountains around Gatlinburg, Tennessee, where I grew up. The Red Cross has done a wonderful job with their emergency response efforts in helping the people of Sevier County after these wildfires. The support, as always, has been overwhelming. Now, I've always believed that charity begins at home, and that's why I've asked my Dollywood companies, including the Dollywood Theme Park, the Dreammore Resort, my dinner theater attractions, including Dixie Stampede and Lumberjack Adventure, plus my Dollywood Foundation, to help me establish a My People's Fund. Now, we want to provide a hand up to all those families that have lost everything in the fires, and to recover, we want to make sure that the Dollywood Foundation provides $1,000 a month to all those families that have lost their homes in the fires until they get back up on their feet. I know it's been a trying time for my people, and this assistance will help. Beginning Friday, you can join our efforts to recover from these deadly fires by visiting dollywoodfoundation.org. Thank you for your help, continued prayers, and your concern. And I hope you'll soon visit our Tennessee mountains and experience the Tennessee spirit.
All right, so we're going to discuss our top five wrestlers or wrestling themes for the last past calendar year of 2016. And we're going to start with Mr. Jonathan Williams.
Why are we starting with me?
So I could eat my french fries.
John's still eating dinner, so
I'm still working on my top five list. I have four so far.
All right, well then I start with Richard Yule.
Well, we can do my four, and then I'll probably think of something along the way.
Let's do a round robin. Do one at a time.
Round robin.
We'll do one at a time
before you do your whole list.
Well, let's see. I'll
go
support my local talent. I'll go with AJ Styles as my first.
Damn you!
I'm sure he's on more than one of our lists, but he's obviously had probably the best year of his career.
Phenomenal.
I see what you did there.
Yeah, no, he absolutely has. I never thought him going to WWE, he would be as good as he is. I mean, because he's even better than what he used to be, I feel. I feel like, his interviews are amazing. Like, just personality just seems to be, I don't know, something happened. Like, I think he felt it was a challenge, like, because he never was, he was in WCW, and who knows,
I was about to say.
Yeah, and so he was probably like, I'm going to show you that you wasted your time all these years not taking me.
I'm not going to be so presumptuous to say that I knew that he would rise to this level and that he would be world champion by now and he would be doing so amazing and all this, that, and the other. I'm not going to say I procrastinated that. But I'm not surprised by it because he has done that every step away of his career.
That's
you know,
true.
You know, all through TNA when he rose from the X division to being, you know, in the main event scene and when TNA stupidly, you know, cutting loose and then he went off and
Japan.
And conquered Japan and now this was his just the newest step that he had to make and he's just been killing it. So, you know, yeah.
Yeah, Jonathan, I mean, he's on your list, so, I mean, add a little bit to that, I guess.
Yeah. I mean, I was kind of, well, actually, I was lucky enough that I was at the Ring of Honor show here in the Atlanta area that was that was the day before his Royal Rumble debut, and everybody kind of knew that was happening. So he didn't have a match, but he did. He was part of the show, and it was kind of a similar to the curtain call thing with the click. You know, because it was also Luke Gallows and Carl Anderson's final appearance for Ring of Honor. So the three of them had their little farewell. Then, of course, AJ made his debut the next night at Royal Rumble, and then they came in shortly thereafter. So you could really say the Bullet Club, which that might be on one of your lists as well. But yeah, I mean, I'm not going to say that I saw AJ wrestle locally before he made it to TNA and all that, but I did get to see him after his TNA departure. He did a lot of local shows, and he got his start in Georgia. And then still represents Georgia pretty strongly. So, you know, I just am glad to see him get what he deserves, especially since he is, you know, a local talent that got started here. But, yeah, I mean, I think a lot of people were surprised. People didn't know how he was going to be treated, basically. And he pretty quickly established himself and then, of course, became the... I guess he's the WWE champion. Is that still the name of that title?
Yes, the WWE World Heavyweight Championship.
Okay, so, you know, he's had that.
Going all the way back to Bruno and Buddy Rogers.
Right, so, yeah, and I'm kind of glad that that's the title he got as well and not this new Universal Championship.
Well, as I posted at the time, he made history by doing that because... That makes him only the third person in all of wrestling history that held both the NWA World Heavyweight Championship and the WWE World Heavyweight Championship. The other
right.
two were Nature Boy Buddy Rogers and Nature Boy Ric Flair.
Yeah, I remember that. And I was surprised to see when you posted that, I went to check. He never was Ring of Honor World Champion, but he was the Pure Champion.
Yes.
I think you said, which kind of was merged with...
World title later, yes.
So I guess you could sort of say it, but he's probably the only person to ever be the TNA champion and WWE champion. I can't think of anyone else.
Yes. And not the first to be IWGP because I think Hogan had that. So. But
I think the biggest surprise
Brock Lesnar was too.
Oh, bro. I think with AJ, like the biggest surprise was the Royal Rumble, like. The crowd reaction was just golden. I mean, like that probably helped further his career in WWE, really.
Yeah, of course.
Well, it's evidently clear, and this has been true, and we've mentioned this on the show before with people like Steve Austin and Mankind and you know, and so on and so forth, is that all you need to do to make it is convince Vince McMahon. So, obviously, AJ has convinced Vince McMahon, so... There you go.
All right.
Oh, by the way, you heard it here first. Jonathan Williams actually saw AJ Styles' very first match.
No, far from it. But I mean, he got his start at, I forget what it was called before, but NWA Wildside, which then
right.
eventually became Anarchy Wrestling. And it might have been last year. I wasn't there, but they did have a homecoming sort of thing, and he was there, and Gunner was there, because that's where he got his start as well, and But yeah, I did see him wrestle locally on an independent level, and then with Ring of Honor, and then I have seen him when TNA would come to town. But no, I didn't. Unfortunately, I did not see his very first match. I've heard about it though. I know people who were there.
Cool.
That's good enough.
But it's like 2 degrees of separation.
Yeah.
Yeah. Richard.
All right, I'm going to start off with Johnny Mundo because I'm a fan of Lucha Underground. And I've always been a fan of John Morrison, Johnny Nitro, whatever you want to call him. But, I mean, I don't know if you guys have been watching Lucha Underground that much, but he has just been doing some phenomenal stuff. Not AJ Styles phenomenal, but, you know.
Sadly, no. I have still yet to see any of Lucha Underground.
Oh, you haven't seen any?
None.
Oh, it's so good. It really
yes,
is.
I know. This goes
I love
back
it.
To the whole Stranger Things thing. I'm sorry.
Well, the cool thing about Lucha Underground and what I think makes it for me is it's an hour long, and I love an hour long wrestling show, it turns out. Because it's just wrestling. I mean, like, they do a little bit of promo stuff, but most of Lucha's is background stuff. Like, they don't do stuff in the ring as far as promos and stuff. It's usually, like, it looks like a movie almost. But as of, spoiler alert, if nobody's seen Lucha Underground from last week, Johnny Mundo is the champion now, so, you know, he's worked his way. What's that?
I was going to say that's well deserved because I haven't seen any Lucha Underground since the first season, but I was a big fan of his in WWE, and I felt like he never really reached his full potential before he left. Even though he did hold several titles, but didn't, you know, I don't think he got what he deserved there. So the fact that he is a champion is good to hear.
He was the Gift of the Gods champion as well, and that's another title that they have. But what I really like is, like, he's a bad guy, but he's not a bad guy, sort of. You know, he's part of a group, kind of like the Bullet Club, I guess. It's called Worldwide Underground, I think. And PJ Black's in it, who I believe is... Oh, what's his name? The guy in Nexus. Yeah. You know who I'm talking about?
Yeah.
I can't remember his name. He did the spinny thing. Gabriel, yes. He did the spinny thing from the top rope. That's the technical term for it.
360, technical term, yeah.
That's like, never mind. But anyway, so that's my that's probably my first pick, or however we're doing this, if we're doing it in order or whatever. But I do think he's been great. And if nobody's seen Lucha Underground, which is my two co-hosts, or much of it anyway, I'm having a blast watching this new season. It's really the first season I've watched fully, so it's really good. And his parkour style goes really good with the Lucha style. It doesn't look as out of... It always felt out of place to me in WWE. But with Lucha Underground, it just fits a lot better. And well, he won the title from Sexy Star, who was the female champion that had just won it the week before.
Right.
So, and I mean... You know, you can go with the whole female on male violence and stuff, but I mean, I'm telling you, they put on a great match, and Sexy Star is great, and all the guys that work with her just do a great job. I mean, it's just, it makes me want to see more wrestling matches with male and female, but, you know, Lucha Underground can get away with it more than anybody else, I guess.
It's interesting because, you know, Lucha Underground gets a pretty blanket level of praise. The only thing that I ever, see being critical is that the people who just can't embrace that, particularly older school guys, who have the issue with that. But other than that, Jim Cornette hates it. But you know, what's surprising about that? But
nothing.
But anyway, I just want to make it clear to our listeners that I'm not just willfully not watching Luke on it.
Well, it is, but there was talks that it was going to go to Netflix, and I really wish it would, but it hasn't as of yet. But I have a feeling it will eventually. So
we're good.
All right, who you got, John?
So, I would be remiss if I didn't have this person on my list, giving our award-winning, not really, but it was good, three-part series of the female wrestling that we did recently. I've got Charlotte Flair as my number five because she has been the linchpin and the glue that has held together the very evolving and excellent women's division that has cropped up in WWE the last year or so. And her is the great heel champion and the straw that stirs drink and the great feud with her and Sasha. She has improved by leaps and bounds from where she was just 2 years ago. She just debuted, 2 years ago or 3 years ago at the most. So she's totally, a rookie, really. And we've discussed her before in the women's thing, she's just carries herself much like her father did. She looks like a champion. She acts like a champion. She has the air of a champion, even when she isn't a champion. So that's why Charlotte Flair is on my list.
I think she's the best female wrestler that WWE has, certainly. A bit of her character gets lost on me sometimes because I like Bayley so much. But wrestling-wise, yeah, I mean, I don't think you could pick anybody else.
Well, I love her character because it's classic old school.
Well, it's Ric Flair.
And Rick took his from Buddy Rogers and so on and so forth. So, I mean, it's not anything new under the sun. It goes back to Gorgeous George. So that's her thing. She's arrogant. She's the genetic superwoman. She looks down her nose at everybody else, and she just has an air of superiority that comes off right. She wears the great robes. So yeah, I do love the whole concept of it, and she pulls it off. And this type of thing has been tried. Even AJ, the guy that was we were just talking about a while ago, who we all agree is one of the greats of all time, it never fit him when they tried to make him, a sort of nature boy.
Oh, no, that was terrible.
It did not work, but it works for Charlotte because she has, the right attitude about it. So, yeah, definitely that. Anything to say, Jonathan?
Well, I mean, that could lead in if it's my turn again.
Sure. It is.
Well, I definitely wanted to include a female wrestler because, as our three-part series can attest to, that this was a great year for women's wrestling. So I definitely agree with you, but I just have women's wrestling as one of my top five for 2016 because
that's certainly the fair way.
Yeah,
I could narrow it down between her and Sasha, and you could say Becky Lynch and Bayley and the whole Women of Honor thing and everything that's been going on the independent scene, and even TNA's Knockouts division has been pretty good from what I've seen in recent months. So it's just all around, it's been a good year. I do think Charlotte and Sasha Banks have kind of led that for sure.
Yes, absolutely.
So I definitely agree with you for your choice with Charlotte.
Oh, yes.
Now you guys are making me feel bad. I don't have a female wrestler on my list.
How dare you?
But I agree with you guys, obviously. I mean, it has been a great year. for them. So, and getting the exposure from Hell in a Cell and just everything, it just feels like we're finally getting the wrestling that we deserve from women, that because people are starting to promoters are starting to realize it. Because I think fans always wanted to see it and always kind of knew it was there. But until, really, honestly, like Triple H got involved, I don't think it would have happened without his involvement with NXT.
Yeah.
Because he wanted to see it. I mean.
Well, and that, you know, kind of goes back to, sadly, the loss that we had this year with women wrestling with China. Because there's no question to me that part of that, I mean, you know, thing that Triple H appreciates the females is because of China.
Yeah, you'd have to think so. Especially how far she made it. I mean, doing things that a woman will probably never do again. I mean, maybe it's a possibility, but I just think China, like we've talked about before, was a very special case and special lady. I mean, just
No question of that.
Just very different. Very, very different.
But yeah, so, you know, and that's the thing. I agree completely with Jonathan in that, you know, you can say the entire women's wrestling period has just risen to a new level, and looks like that they're not going to stop anytime soon. So, but for me, Charlotte is the jewel in the crown. But all the women are doing great, even my lovely Becky.
Well, that's Sasha. You, don't forget
she's
about
Irish.
Sasha. You can't turn
Sasha,
your back.
Yes, Sasha's fine. Yes, Sasha's fine. Nothing wrong with Sasha. But she doesn't have an Irish accent.
Well, that's true. All right.
And she doesn't do bad puns.
She. Well, I know you like your bad puns.
Yeah, I do. So, Richard.
So, I've probably got a weird one on my list, but I have a reason why. But Zack Ryder, and it's mainly because this has probably been the best career of his WWE career, certainly, and probably
You're right.
Life.
It's weird.
But I mean, I have a defense. I mean, he got his WrestleMania moment this year.
True.
I mean, he might have lost it the next night, but it don't matter. I mean, you know, he got his WrestleMania moment. Nobody booed him. Nope. I mean, people cheered him.
He got a huge pop.
And especially for, I mean, because it was so shocking, like, nobody guessed that one. And, you know, I think with Mojo Riley, whether you like the Hype Bros or not, which I don't know how y'all feel, I mean, I think it's an okay gimmick. I mean, I think for a tag team, it's a good tag team to have around, and I think it's good for
Hey, hype!
But I think it's a good tag team to have, you know, and, you know, you can have your revival and your, you know, it just adds diversity to the tag team division. But I think more importantly, it's good for Zack Ryder to be around, especially NXT, because, I mean, no matter how you feel about him, a lot of people don't like the woo-woo thing and all that. He's a solid wrestler, and so for him to be near NXT and near Mojo Raleigh, it's a good thing, I think. It helps the younger kids out. It helps Zach out. I mean, it gives him something to do, and he looks like he's having a good time doing it.
Oh, I think it's giving him new life. There's no question about it, and that's always a good thing. So, yeah, so good for Zach and good for Mojo. Yeah, I like the Hype Brothers, and it's funny because, you know, barely missing my list, and anybody that knows me knows that this is a big deal, so you got to mad wonder who the other four are, along with Charlotte. I was going to say, just like he picked women's wrestling, I was going to say tag team wrestling, I think, has taken a big step up this year, and part of it is, like you said, you got lots of different teams, and they're all very diverse, and they're all actually dedicated teams. Except for Cesaro and Sheamus, but they're making the whole point. Their whole point of them is they're not a dedicated duo. And I'm enjoying the heck out of it. I, you know, it's just a lot of fun. So, and Hype Brothers are definitely part of that.
Yeah, I was going to say, I thought about having tag team wrestling on my list, but I think that might be next year. It's definitely been a good year for it, but I don't know if it has reached the same heights that women's wrestling has.
I don't think so. I think it'll take another year.
Yeah.
So, John?
Yeah. Oh, my turn. Okay, well, real quick, I'm going to do another, because it's sort of similar, but I'm going to do another honorary mention, because it is a pretty good feel-good story, even though I know Richard isn't going to be happy about this. But James Ellsworth.
Ugh.
Hey, but you got to admit, the guy was a total nobody jobber, and now he's got a contract with the, you know, WWE, and he's working in a main event program with AJ Styles and Dean Ambrose. I mean, you got to feel good for the guy. I mean, it's just one of those feel-good stories, and one of those things that happens once in a blue moon, and I'm happy for the little guy. I really am. So, no chin music forever, you know, but the one I'm actually next on my list is sort of the same story, but not to that extremes and a little bit more, you know, not less legitimate, but a little more, a little more part of actual wrestling, and that Heath Ledger, who also was got to the point where he was in obscurity, is mostly basically a jobber.
You mean Heath Slater?
Did I say Heath Ledger? Yes, Heath Slater. Oh, man. Now, Heath Ledger is, unfortunately,
no longer with. He was a Joker.
He was a great Joker, but no, Heath Slater. Yes, I'm sorry. That's that boy, the host, really is showing his great knowledge here. Heath Slater is doing, has had a great year. He utilized I think one of the most important things that happened that came out of the draft. It actually was part of the draft of him, you know, not getting signed by either side and him trying to get on and the whole story of him and Rhino and him having to win the titles to be able to get a contract and the whole thing just works. And him and Rhino have great chemistry. Again, like you were talking about the Hype Brothers, very different team, but similar in the fact that, you know, they're feel good and they're, you know, funny and all said and the other, but, you know, they kick ass in the ring. So yeah, got to give it to Heath Slater. He has really, really had a booming 2016.
Well, yeah, it's definitely the best of his career, I think. I mean, yeah, with Nexus, but with this being solid him, you know, yeah, it's got to be his best year.
Oh, easy.
And he's got kids.
And he's got kids. That's right.
So, Jonathan, do you like Heath Ledger? I mean, Slater?
I do, and I can't disagree with that pick. I am a little behind on the current stuff because of my day job, so I've only seen some of that, but I saw about up to the point where they won the titles and then shortly thereafter, and I've enjoyed it thoroughly. And, you know, kind of like what you're saying about Zack Ryder and Mojo Rawley, you know, Rhino is definitely helping out Heath Slater's career right now.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, that's true. They're very similar in that respect, in that you got a old veteran with a younger guy and it's just worked out very well for all parties.
I would just wish they would WWE would realize that that's what veterans are supposed to do for the younger people, and not buried.
Well, that's even true for my favorite tag team of all time, Buddy Roberts edition. You know, when the Cowboy Bill Watts added Buddy Roberts to, you know, very young, very young Michael Hayes and Terry Gordy, it was the final, you know, piece of the puzzle. And the Freebirds just went boom, you know, and Buddy was a large part of that. And he was an old veteran, you know, journeyman, you know, as opposed to the young kids. And so it works, you know.
I'm just bitter that Bray Wyatt lost Undertaker last year.
I know, me too, but, you know.
Because that shouldn't have happened.
But yeah, it could have been worse. I could have called him Christian Slater. So,
hey.
No, nothing against Christian. I like him. He's in one of my favorite movies, Heathers. So what am I going to go with?
Oh, he's in one of my favorite movies, Cuffs, which I bet you don't know.
I do know Cuffs.
Do you know Cuffs? Cuffs is great.
Yeah, it's a good movie. I like me. I like it. He's in Star Trek 4.
One of them.
No,
yeah.
6. Star Trek 6. Star Trek 6. No. Star Trek. Yeah, Star Trek 6. He goes, wakes up Sulu. That's it.
Oh, Lord. All right.
Yeah, let's get him off that.
Well, let's, before he jumps off the bridge or starship bridge or whatever and starts talking Star Trek that I don't know.
Is it my turn?
Yes, it's your turn.
Again?
I think so, yeah.
I've already talked about Heath Christian Slater Ledger.
Well, let's see. Well, this might fall into the same slight obscurity that your Lucha Underground pick fell into because of the current state of TNA, but I'm going to go with Moose, who was with Ring of Honor for the first part of the year and was doing great work there, and then went over to TNA along with Michael Bennett and Maria Kanellis, and has since been in, you know, in the world title picture because he and Bobby Lashley have had a little rivalry going on, and he's another. He's not Georgia bred, but he did play for the Falcons, and he did get his wrestling career started here. And I may have actually seen his first wrestling match, or at least one of his first. I don't know. Have you guys seen Moose in Ring of Honor or TNA this year?
I've seen him in TNA, but I haven't followed him. I saw when he first came in, and I saw that he was in a few of the big matches, high-profile matches. I'm a big Miracle fan, so obviously I kind of saw him through that. It's a great pick. He's had a big year, yeah. I mean, from the beginning of the year being in Ring of Honor to whatever people think about TNA, it is a very high-profile wrestling organization, I guess. I don't know if that's right. But anyway, I mean, it is on Pop TV, and it's on every Thursday, and he's on it. So you got to think that he's probably happy, at least getting the exposure.
Yeah, I have to admit, I know nothing about Moose, so I cannot comment on him, but happy for him and his success. I know that... that much, at least, anyway. But I haven't watched any TNA at all.
Didn't he sort of come in as Miracle's bodyguard, Jonathan?
For TNA? Yeah. And I don't recall them ever certainly being aligned with each other, but I don't even recall them interacting very much in Ring of Honor. So not sure how that came about, but they did debut together, essentially. And he was... not really his bodyguard, but essentially, yeah, he was kind of like the Diesel to Shawn Michaels, or, you know, that kind of,
yeah.
Which I guess he was a bodyguard, wasn't he? but you know, quickly, much the same fashion, he quickly outgrew that role and kind of turned on his former companion or whatever you call him. And because he was getting, he was having a similar thing in Ring of Honor where he was aligned with a manager, a heel manager and a heel group, but getting cheered. So, you know, it was only a matter of time before he broke away from that and went out on his own. But yeah, he was essentially his thug or whatever.
It's a good pick. I mean, he certainly this is a, you know, a top five of the year, and he certainly has had a big year. So it's I do wish I saw a little bit more of him and Michael Bennett Miracle, but I don't watch TNA on a regular basis, so I only catch it here and there. And John doesn't catch it at all.
No, sadly, no. So, I used to watch it religiously back, you know, a few couple of years ago.
We all did.
Yeah, but I couldn't take it anymore.
Yeah.
Right in the middle of the aces and eights, I bailed out.
So. Yeah, I bailed out a little before that, but yeah, it was the same way.
And it's just it frustrated me, and we definitely need to get around to our TNA show so that we can, you know, talk about all this in more detail. But the one thing mediocrity, I've dealt with that. Hell, where there's been runs of WWE that have been like that. I can deal with that. I can deal with, you know, things not being the best or whatever. What gets to me is when something shows incredible promise more than once and they get it clicking right and somehow or another they mess it up over and over and over again. That I can't take. Eventually I have to give up. I can't take it no more. And TNA has definitely done that. There's been times when TNA was the best thing going, period. You know, no question. And then they screw it up. So
yeah. So my next pick, I guess, is I actually don't know a whole lot about him. I just started getting the Ring of Honor weekly show. I just realized that it was here in town. Like, we got it on our local station. So
hey, you want to hear a secret about Ring of Honor?
I do.
I don't watch that either.
You call yourself a wrestling fan.
You just like Vince McMahon.
I have no defense, no excuse, no anything. I just
that
don't
should come on in tech. I bet you get that.
I don't have any antenna or cable. But that does no excuse because there is ways of finding this stuff on the internet. Okay, right now I'm having to go search. We have WWE. But so there is no excuse other than, of course, the same one for Stranger Things and for Luke Cage and Westworld and all the rest of it. I want to watch these things, but I just haven't gotten around
to it. Oh, here's the secret. Westworld isn't good. I gave up. No, really? I'm about the only person that gave up. But
okay.
So
if I may interrupt, Moose just posted on Instagram that he is the new Impact Grand Champion, which is the newest name for TNA's, I guess the equivalent of their Intercontinental Champion.
Oh.
Breaking news. Congratulations to Moose.
Yeah, cool.
Isn't he the guy that used to hang out with Archie and Jughead?
No.
Oh, different Moose. Okay. All right.
I have a Ring of Honor pick, and he is Hangman Page. Where I guess Adam Page is who the wrestler is. He started going by the name Hangman, and I don't really know how he started that gimmick. Jonathan, I don't know if you have any more information about this than I do. But he started wearing a noose around his neck and stuff like that. He's part of the Bullet Club, hangs out with Adam Cole. If you see Adam Cole, you're probably going to see Hangman Page as well, and I just think he's a damn good wrestler, I can't speak on previous years about how his wrestling has been, but I imagine that, I mean, he's always in a pretty high profile section as far as like Adam Cole being the champion, so I have to imagine that he's only getting better and getting more
well, anything I've ever heard about him has all been positive, so yeah, pretty much. If it's good to me, then it means.
He was one of the first interviews, right, Jonathan?
Yeah, I think he was. I think that was my debut on this show was a pre-recorded interview with him.
That's right. So I really like Adam Page.
Well, off air, you mentioned that he was going by Hangman Page, and I said that I was a little bit behind and wasn't aware of that, but I remember it now. It was when he joined Bullet Club, and it was something that started in Japan, and then they just kept going with it in Ring of Honor. But I don't know the story behind the name.
I got you.
But
is it got? Maybe does he have a like a guillotine type of a move or some kind of a choke move or something? Maybe.
I imagine it. I don't think so. Not that I've seen, but I imagine it actually has to do with a noose, possibly because he wears it around his neck. So I almost wonder if they used it and now it's like a trophy or something. Right. That's how it is in my head, anyway.
Yeah, you know, it's not like you know Mark Callis is actually an Undertaker.
But anyway, it's a cool gimmick, and I mean, I think his build is really good. Like I like Adam Cole, but I think I like Hangman Page a little better. And they're always together, so I just put them two together. But so anyway, that I think he's had a good year just because I've seen him this year. So I imagine that this has probably been a pretty big year. Well, I don't think he has a title. I'm not sure if he has a title right now.
Well, back when I interviewed him, I believe that was in January, he was still part of BJ Whitmer's club, not club, but faction of the Decade. But he was like their whipping boy. Right. 'Cause the whole premise of the Decade originally was he, Roderick Strong, and Jimmy Jacobs were, I guess, maybe the only people, or at least some of very few people who had been with Ring of Honor for at least a decade. So, you know, they were kind of these veterans who didn't feel like they were getting the respect they deserved, and were, you know, younger guys were getting the pushes that they wanted. And then he became part of it, but obviously he was new. So then the Decade kind of, I don't know what happened to Jimmy Jacobs, but I know Roderick Strong kind of left the group and feuded with BJ Whitmer. And then in my interview with Adam Page, he alluded to possibly feuding with Whitmer. And then, of course, he did. So he benefited from being part of that group and then turning face and then turning heel again and joining the Bullet Club. And he definitely has had a good year. So I think that's a great pick.
Cool.
Excellent. Well, speaking of people that you associate together, I'm going to skip to my number two because my number three was AJ Styles, and we've already discussed him. So I'm going to go ahead and skip to my number two, and my number two is Jericho, the combination of Chris Jericho and Kevin Owens.
But they're not together anymore.
I didn't know that.
What? They're not?
Well, I don't know. The Monday Night Raw I saw, they like, I don't know what happened at the end of the night.
You mean last week or this week?
I think this week. This week.
Last week they teased the breakup. And
so this week they were, I didn't see the very end of the night, so I don't know if it was like all a ruse, but like they definitely.
Well, I sure hope so.
They definitely broke up.
Well, anyway, we'll see. But nevertheless, up until this point, you know, it's just one of those things. And again, I just hope they're not pulling the trigger. I just think it's too soon to pull the trigger on this because Kevin Owens is great by himself. Chris Jericho is great by himself and has renewed himself into what I think is maybe his best run ever, which is saying a lot. And the two of them together, though, it's just mind-blowingly good. They just have great chemistry. They feed off each other perfectly. They're just damn good. When we watched SummerSlam, was it not SummerSlam, Survivor Series. Well, we didn't. What was the one before Survivor Series?
SummerSlam.
Money in the Bank.
Oh
my! Not Money in the Bank.
Hell in a Cell.
Hell in a Cell.
My gosh.
Dang. My gosh.
Took a while to get there.
Yeah, I'm tired because of that long walk. But anyway, Hell in a Cell, my friend Ray was here, and he had his girlfriend who's a casual wrestling fan. And she was really into the whole thing, so on and so forth. And she, her reaction as a mark was perfect. She hated both of them, but she couldn't deny that they were funny. She would laugh at them when they would do the things, and then when they would do something nefarious, and she would boo them, and she didn't like them. So right there, you know, proves just exactly how good they are at what they do. And, you know, but I have to confess the real reason that they're on my list is I don't want to get on the list of Jericho.
I mean, I'll say, I guess I agree with that. I mean, they are pretty funny, but to me it gets a little old. But, I mean, in the whole list of Jericho, it's fine. But to me it gets a little old, but, you know, people like it.
I will just say what Chris Jericho said, a conversation between him and Vince, in that Jericho went to Vince and Vince said, or Jericho said, you know, the list of Jericho is more over than half of the roster. And Vince says, you're right. He says, too bad it can't, you know, work. So, but it's just one of those things that has caught fire. And but not just that. I mean, he's done other stuff. I mean, he's got the whole It thing. He's got the whole Drink It In, Man, you know, the Gift of Jericho. I mean, Jericho is just, it's obvious that Kevin Owens has lit a fire under Chris's butt. And then when he first come back this last time, he was just not the best Jericho that he's ever been. He just seemed like he was kind of mailing it in. He was there, you know, to fulfill the obligations and all this, that, and the other. And he even said in a recent interview, he said that he was supposed to have left right after WrestleMania. And then he kept extending the contract. He's now actually on a month-to-month basis. But he's now excited. He's found that, you know, desire and that fire that, you know, he has had in the past with his best runs, and just enjoying the heck out of it. And I don't get tired of it. You can put him on the list, Chris.
Have you seen any of them, Jonathan, in your busy schedule?
Oh yeah. Yeah. And I think, obviously, Kevin Owens has had a great year, and is he still champion, Universal champion?
Yes.
Yes.
Which I'm guessing has something to do with the best friends having some issues. But I mean, I think this has been definitely, I agree with what you're saying about Jericho. It's been his best year in a long time, probably one of the best years of his career.
It's certainly the best he's done since 2005 when he come back with the, you know, we did the heel run there and the feud with HBK and everything else. And then Jer show and all of a sudden the other. So, yeah, easily.
But even then, he didn't, you know, what I loved about Jericho and WCW was his goofy side. I mean, yes. He's a great wrestler, but he's more entertaining when he's doing that goofy
Oh, I agree.
Annoying, know, kind of douchebag, and that's what he's been lately.
Well, you know, and the whole reason that he come back with the more serious Botwinkle-like style was because he had given up on trying to do that because his stuff was so over and he was so popular as, you know, Y2J that he felt like he needed to do something, you know, completely different. But now he's come full circle and he's found a way to get the fans to boo him as a very entertaining type. As a matter of fact, he was just commenting that the list of Jericho has been over and it was getting too over to the point where they were popping for it. So, like in Canada recently, when their tour up there, you know, and you know, Survivor Series this, that, and the other, he turned it on them, and you know, because he teased them, it's like, you know what you get, you know what you get, Toronto, for, you know, for doing da da da, and of course they're all ready for him to say the line, and they're waiting for it, and he goes, you don't get on the list, and then they booed, you know, so there you go. Jericho has always had the right mentality for that. He understands what it's supposed to be a heel. Very old school in the idea that his job is to get the crowd against him and for the babyface. And he has taken pride, as a matter of fact, and it's true. He has every reason to take this pride, and that he can actually get people to cheer Roman. So that's pretty good.
It's a hard job sometimes.
It is.
All right, Jonathan.
Well, let's see, I've got two left, so I'm going to go with, Finn Balor, who, I almost just said NXT the same way I did women's wrestling, because it's been a great year overall, But I think that's kind of been true for the past 2 or 3 years, leading up to this year. But, you know, him becoming the first Universal Champion, well, even before that, defeating Roman Reigns, making his his draft pick, his Raw debut, I guess, you know, was kind of a surprise to a lot of people. And I think we talked about that a good bit on a previous episode. But, you know, his everything in NXT, his Samoa Joe feud, being called up to the main roster, winning the title. Unfortunately, of course, he was injured right after that. So it was a very short, probably one of the shortest reigns. Well, the shortest reign in that title's history, for sure.
Yeah.
But, anyway, despite the unfortunate outcome of that, I think he... You know, he had a great year, as did most of NXT.
Indeed. Joe and Asuka, Nakamura, Finn, Enzo and Cass coming up and, you know, doing well. Because, you know, I mean, there's never any guarantee that what's over down in NXT is going to get over on the main roster. We've certainly seen, you know, some that happened with, but Enzo and Cass just click.
The Ascension.
Bo Dallas.
Oh man, Bo was so good in NXT. So good.
I agree.
But also, I'll say this: Finn Balor was my next choice, so we'll just roll this into one, Jonathan.
All right.
And I mean, because Finn Balor, yeah, I mean, despite that injury, you can't deny that he had a great year. I mean, especially, I mean, nobody really thought that he was going to get that title. I mean, everybody wanted him to, but nobody thought that he
would. No, I did not expect it at all.
And just, he's sort of like AJ Styles in the matter of, like, the reception from the crowd has just been really, really good.
And he's Irish, too.
He is.
But he doesn't have bad puns.
But
he did a really sweet little after the camera bits with Bailey, so that's good.
I'm hoping he comes back soon, but I don't know what the time period is. But I really hope he comes back for Rumble.
Yeah, I hope so too. But
the crowd would go nuts.
Oh yeah, no question.
And then I hope he wins it. So
yeah, well, there's always a possibility. we all have one left, right? So correct. Before we go to our top, let's all do our bad one real quick. So at least we end on a high note rather than a low note. So, Jonathan.
I didn't have one of those prepared. So well, you're save on the me spot. For last on this one.
I'll save for last then. Richard.
I don't know. Well, I said off air, I said we couldn't say Roman Reigns. That was the only pick I had. But really, it hasn't been that bad of a year other than the... booing and
Roman's actually
touch.
Building a little bit better. He's better than he was a year ago. No question.
Yeah. I mean, I hate to say it. I mean, because I don't think he's the worst wrestler by any means, but I just think he is a wrestler that is lost in WWE. Doesn't know what to do with him. John, you love him. I love him, but Bray Wyatt cannot catch a break. I mean, I don't know what they're doing with him.
Well, I totally agree with that, and unfortunately it is true, except for they did give him the big win at Survivor Series.
They did.
So there is maybe if they build on that, then maybe we'll see a turnaround with it, but I'm not going to hold my breath. I'm going to wait and see what happens. No. But he did stand tall at the end of the main event of the regular roster, you know, so that's good. So hopefully if they can build on that and they don't just have Randy turn and then beat him and whatever, then I'll be happy. But, yeah, you're right. It's not been a good year for Bray up to that point.
Yeah, and it's not a knock on him as far as – I mean, he's got everything. He has everything he needs. He's had it for 2 years now.
It's the most frustrating thing in the world when you see somebody and he's not – and not just us. And we've got – you see podcasts for people that know wrestling way better than any of us who lived and breathed wrestling, and they see nothing but money in this guy. his look, his style, his promos, his ability to speak, his wrestling ability, his uniqueness. It says he is money walking, but they haven't done the cardinal rule that they have to let him back up his words.
Yeah.
Because they don't, then the words are meaningless, no matter how pretty they are.
And they are. They're meaningless. They don't
mean anything.
It's just a bunch of gibberish. Like, I mean, because he doesn't live up to anything. Like, it's like...
Exactly.
I mean, he could be the new Undertaker. And when they need the new Undertaker, that's why he should have beat him. He should have put him in a casket, and it should have been done. And yeah, you should have never seen Undertaker again.
Because they want to see him win, and they want to cheer him. You know, look, I was there live when 100,000 people were shining the light for, you know, being the Fireflies.
Yeah, he's got a great gimmick.
Just, you know, the people like him, you know. But it's like others in the past that, you know, they liked him, but then they gave up, you know. Well, Dolph Ziggler is a great example of that. You know, remember that pop the year after, you know, the Monday after WrestleMania when he won the title from Alberto Del Rio?
Yeah.
It was a huge pop. People wanted to see Ziggler win, but now they've jobbed him out so much, and it's just they give up. You know? So anyway, my number one worst is Dixie Carter.
Because
I tell you, she has, I mean, I lost all respect for the woman long ago. She has been the worst enemy of TNA has ever had. And she proved that she had depths that I didn't even know that she had. When she sabotaged this entire sale of TNA, possibly the last breath chance for TNA to survive and still keep going and been proven, whatever. Because she obviously is an incredibly selfish person that's only out for herself, and it's one that's like, you can't play, if I can't have it, then nobody can have it. And for
that's
that,
definitely
it's
the
worst thing in all of wrestling in 2016, at least.
That's definitely, and it's sad because TNA's actually had a good year, but it's despite her, it's not because
exactly.
of her. I mean,
exactly.
Billy Corgan was behind the best things in TNA.
Yes, he was.
I mean, the things that we love, like the deletion and I mean,
and now, even over Billy, and Billy certainly got a raw deal out of all this. But poor Jeremy Borash, who has been a stalwart guy behind the scenes there, and he has been behind some of the best gimmicks that they've done, including that one. And it's just you gotta wonder what he's thinking. He's like, what the hell, you know. Every time we think like we're picking up speed or whatever, this woman completely sabotages us again.
Yeah.
It would drive me crazy, you know. Does me, and it drives me anyway, and I'm not even there, so.
You don't even watch it.
I don't even watch it. Well, I did. Hey, by the way, I say I don't watch TNA, but I did go and watch all the deletion stuff. So.
Well, because it was great. They do more stuff. Like, of course, you can watch Total Nonstop Deletion coming up, so.
Yes.
Whenever the hell that is.
All right. No more stalling, Jonathan.
Well, I don't know. You could say TNA in general, but I think Dixie Carter represents that pretty well.
Yes.
Sadly. I guess I'm going to go with not to say they are bad wrestlers or anything like that, but they definitely haven't had their best year. And I'm going to pair them because they are a couple, and that would be Alberto Del Rio and Paige.
Oh, yeah. It's been been the worst for both of them.
Yep.
And I guess you could even throw Eva Marie into that because I think she was she violated the wellness policy. I assume they were all involved because those announcements all came on the same day.
You mean Eva, not Brie?
I said Eva Marie.
Did you? Oh, okay.
Oh, I thought you said Brie too.
Oh man, I did. I meant Eva.
You heard it here first, Brie.
Eva Brie.
Well, and Eva she got Brie. That, and she got that great theme music too. Man,
yeah. Oh man, it was a great old entrance.
It was the best.
I mean, yeah.
But she had that all those unfortunate mishaps that prevented her from having her debut match, and then she got suspended, and I don't think she's been seen since, has she?
I don't think so, no.
She's been backstage, but she hasn't been on the show, no.
I think somebody on the Facebook group said that must have been one hell of a party when everybody got...
Yeah,
everybody got suspended. Did you say it? Because, yeah, there were a bunch of them that violated the wellness policy. Oh,
hell, I mean, I just put the pieces together. They gave me the puzzle pieces, and I just, you know, it's just one heck of a party, sound like me. So, okay. Well, now let's do our number ones.
I think me and John might have the same one, but Jonathan, who is yours?
Well, I didn't know we were counting down. So,
well, we weren't really. They're not necessarily order. We're just it's just the time. At least mine
were in order.
Mine weren't in order. John wasn't specific enough.
Well, mine were not in order, but my last pick will be someone that you may not have seen has had a great year or a great couple of years, really. Because most of it's been...
What other wrestling show don't I watch?
Well, this is all local stuff, but it is something you've probably seen before. Former TNA and Ring of Honor wrestler Jimmy Rave. He has been, for more than a year, the Georgia Wrestling Crown Champion, which is the top title in Atlanta Wrestling Entertainment, which is obviously a local promotion that has been doing some big stuff locally. He held titles in numerous other local and regional promotions, and he won he was best overall wrestler and best technician in the 2015 Georgia Wrestling History Awards, which is affiliated Wrestling History Radio Network, where he was actually a guest a few times. But I'm sure you guys know who Jimmy Ray at least, right?
Yeah, wasn't he with Rockin' Rave with Lance Hoyt?
Yes. Yeah.
He was in Atlanta, and there were a lot of local wrestlers that were doing security.
Right.
He was on. He made his Raw debut as the security guy.
Cool.
But anyway, so I'm just trying to represent the local scene.
Hey, again. That's great. Well, you
yeah,
know,
no,
I'll give
it sounds like you did great. Yeah.
Mention. I'll give an honorable mention to local guy Tim Storm for winning the NWA World Heavyweight Championship. So, yeah, great, yeah.
And Tim Storm he's the one we were talking about the other day.
Yes, he was the former North American champion that your guy beat, yep.
Yeah, Tyson Dean, who is still the North American champion.
Right, well, and Tim's still the NWA champion, but... So, yeah, they ought to give at least a title match to him, I would think.
All right. Richard. All right, John. Is your pick broken?
He is indeed broken.
That's what I figured.
The one and only broken Matt Hardy is my number one pick for the top guy of all 2016 because he has lit the wrestling world on fire well outside of wrestling. You know, it's become a viral thing all over the internet, and it's just the greatest thing ever. And he has reinvented himself, and he boosted up TNA from the doldrums with it. And it is, and thankfully, because it looks like he's got control of it, he's taken it outside of TNA, just like the Bullet Club's been able to do with their thing.
Yeah,
he just recently was in England, you know, and they had a broken, you know, or a delete thing there. So that's good because, you know, whatever happens to TNA, Broken Matt Hardy will be all right.
Yeah, and out of the two brothers,
well, not really all right because he's broken, but never.
But out of the two brothers, who would have thought? Like, I mean, you kind of saw this with like when they did version one and version two and all that,
you know,
of
this
Matt
is one
Hardy.
One of those things, unlike. Earlier when I said I couldn't predict what was happening to AJ, I couldn't predict this kind of level of thing, but I've always believed in Matt. I always believed that Jeff got way too much of the credit just because he did the high spots. And and don't get me wrong, Jeff deserves every bit of the accolades that he got. And he has a character and a look and the and he's just, you know, wrecked his body and did incredible things and so on and so forth. But Matt was always more solid in character and solid in and doing things, you know, in working in the ring and so on and so forth. And like you said, Matt 2.0 and stuff like that, he showed me that he could reinvent himself and that he could do interesting stuff. And so when he gets a chance to run with it and when he straightened himself out, that was the only drawback about both Hardy brothers, is that their own demons and their own, messing themselves up. And Matt really messed himself even worse maybe than in some ways Jeff did at one point. And so
yes,
him doing this whole thing with Brogan, it was not what I expected, but it all makes sense given the whole story of Matt and Jeff and all this, that, and the other. So that's another reason why it makes it work, is that as crazy as it is, it also makes a lot of sense. And he's just doing a great job being the best heel in all of wrestling.
And the best part is he stays in character. I mean, if you hear him in an interview on a all podcast or on Twitter, like, he's in character. There is no other Matt Hardy, and you got to respect that. Like that, I mean, nobody else does it. I can't think of it.
Even before he went totally broken, too.
Yes. Yeah, he's been doing that for a few years, actually. Yeah. I mean, for at least since last year.
You know, and that's why I knew Matt was my guy, because, you know, as crazy and great as Jeff is, Matt's an old school minded guy. And that whole idea of he believes in kayfabe. He's not going to let anybody know that he's anything other than what he presents himself in the ring. So.
Yeah, that's why I picked him. I mean, he's got to be mentioned. Yeah, it's just great. Jonathan, what do you think about all the deletion stuff and such?
I honestly still haven't decided what I think about it. I mean, I enjoy it.
Yeah.
But it's so weird that, you know, it's kind of odd. You just said he believes in kayfabe and all that, but that excuse me, for people who think that kayfabe is dead, this could easily be the type of thing that they point to and say, see, how am I supposed to believe that? But at the same time, it has gotten people talking about not just TNA but wrestling in general. It has, you know, reignited the Hardy's career, especially Matt's.
And sort of reinvented, too, yeah.
Yeah, well, definitely reinvented both of them. And yes. And Jeff seems perfectly comfortable being the supporting role there.
And that's not a surprise, because, I mean, they, you know, not all brothers are tight like that, but they have always been tight brothers all the way along. And so I'm sure Jeff is elated that this is working out for Matt. Because, you know, Jeff can always go back to being, you know, enigmatic Jeff Hardy and do his, you know, thing. So is anything, you know, it's great sacrifice on his part in a way, because, you know, he is taking a step back and letting Matt take the front stage. And that's a cool thing.
There was one episode of Impact where they were on the farm, not the farm, but, you know, in his huge yard, the estate. Mm-hmm. And it was almost like a baptism, and Matt dipped Jeff into the water and brought him back out, and he was like one of the previous versions of Jeff Hardy.
Yes.
He dipped him back in, and he came. I think they did it a couple times.
Yep.
That was pretty funny.
Yep. It's good stuff. You about to say something, Richard?
I can't remember. Oh, I don't know who Jeff Hardy is. I only know Brother Nero.
Brother Nero. I'm sorry. Yes. That was close. We could have got deleted for that. Okay. Speaking of deletion, we've run out of list and we've run out of time. And so join us next time and we'll think of something else to talk about. I promise. Bum 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 b
News has been a broadcast of the ESO Network, your station for all things geek, classic, current, and beyond. Be part of the crew at esonetwork.com.